Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good all the time. Amen. We also know that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking His word out into all the world that everyone may see and know the way to freedom is the same way we got there. By the grace of His sacrifice, His payment on the cross of Calvary, that all who might believe shall be saved. Amen and amen. Well, today I have a sermon that I would like to do for you, and this is an old sermon. I have preached this sermon many times throughout my career as a pastor, and I just felt with the things that are going on and where we see things in the world today, especially today, that it was a good time to be reminded. You know, I don't like to repeat sermons, so I think it's funny because I don't keep all my notes. I throw them away when I get home. They're gone. I do not repeat a sermon, all right? So though I've preached on this, I've never preached on it the way I'm going to preach on it today, and I'll never preach on it this way ever again, because the simple fact is I hate repetition in that manner. All right, I have some brothers and sisters out there, and you all know this. I mean, you know, if you've been around the church for a long period of time, I have some brothers out there and sisters out there that, you know, they're retired now, so they went back and they pulled out their best 20. So now when they get invited to a church, they preach one of 20 sermons that they've probably preached, you know, half a dozen times each or more. And I don't do that because God is fresh and new every day and every morning. Amen? And we need to remember God's word meets us right where it is. Now, I'm not condemning my brothers or sisters who do that because, hey, they've invested the time. It's their sermon, right? They get to do with it what they want. But I look at it this way. God gives me new, fresh breath every day. Shouldn't I be fresh just like He is? Fresh and new every morning. Isn't that what the scripture says? Fresh and new every morning. So today, I want to teach on an old word. I mean, hey, let's face it. This word's been around for 2,000 years. But it's fresh and new even today. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. And this sermon is entitled, "In Christ We Are to Redeem the Time." And I think that this is very important. Ephesians 5 and 15, that's where we're going to start. This is a word for every age, okay? However, I truly believe that this word has no better time to be realized than today. How many of you out here in the audience, how many of you out there on internet land, you know, how many of you folks out there have a cell phone? Some of you are watching me on a cell phone right now. Others of you are using a computer and you're on the internet. We're connected to everything, everywhere, all the time. We have so much information at our hands right now and so many people that we can be in contact with that is primarily what many people's lives look like. I love going to a restaurant. I don't love going to restaurants, but I love when I'm at a restaurant watching people. How many of you watch people? How many of you out there are people watchers? Okay. I love to watch people. You're at a restaurant, and you've got 4, 5, 6 people sitting around the table with you, and everybody there has their cell phone out texting somebody that's not at the table. What's really weird is when you find out that two of them are literally texting each other, and they're sitting across from each other. Something's wrong. And this is what this word is talking to, because we have become wasters of time. And I don't think we realize how much time we're wasting. I want you to think about this. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a little boy, we had a black and white TV. Now, for those of you who are younger in the audience, you're probably like, black and white TV? Yes. Yes, monochrome did not come out until the 1970s. How many of you remember that, right? 1970s, all of a sudden the peacock was in color, okay? And so I laugh because, you know, before my generation, all they had was radio. So they listened and had to imagine with their minds. So we had to look and see things in black and white and put color to it. Okay, today, boy, we've got so much. And how many of us spend hours in front of that boob tube? Let's face it, when it's on, you don't even have to be watching it. It's on and you walk through the room. What happens? As soon as you walk in, it's like you lock on. This thing has programmed us that when it's on, we have to give it all our attention, right? And many of us put hours and hours and hours of every day into the television, into the internet, into our phones, because it's our lives now. No, it's not a life. That's a lie. We need to begin redeeming the time. If you're texting and talking with people who are out there 500, 600, you don't even know where they are because they've friended you on Facebook or whatever, you know, Snap or TikTok or whatever this stuff is. How many of those people do you really know? Oh, well, I have 500 friends. No, you don't. A friend is someone who comes to your house and sits at your table and eats dinner with you. A friend is someone whose life you have invested in. And that's what we're going to be talking about here today, is learning that we need to be redeemers of time, just as Jesus Christ is a redeemer of time. Time means nothing to him anymore because he's into our lives. He is the ultimate redeemer. From Ephesians 5 and 15, we read this word. We're going to read through 18. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Four little verses that I want us to understand. God wants us to restructure our lives, that in Christ Jesus, he has a way that he wants us to walk. So I want to begin. I'm going to tear down these verses. I'm going to start with 15 and 16, and then we're going to walk into some of the other scriptures to show us what's being spoken here. He says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." So in other words, we need to understand, God is telling us that there are two different types of people in this world. There are those who are unwise and those who are wise. Which would you rather be in, the wise group or the unwise group? I think most of us would say, oh, but I'm a wise person. Are you really? Or are you getting wise? Okay? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when we were children, we thought as children. But when we became adults, we are supposed to put away childish things. Amen? How many of you still carry your toys around in your pocket? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We have allowed these things to entrap us. And we need to remember that we are to be in charge of our lives and the situations around us. Because whatever we give our time to, we have made our God. Whoa, that's a little harsh, isn't it? No, it's not. That's the truth. Whatever we give our time, we have made our God. That's not a lie. That is a truth. And we need to redeem our time. Now, can we have these tools? Yes. There's nothing wrong with having a tool, okay? A carpenter couldn't build a house without a hammer and a saw, right? I mean, those are two prerequisites for being a carpenter. We too have to have our tools. And I'm going to say this right now. I love this book. I love this book. But it is so much easier to have that little electronic device in my pocket that I can pull it out, hit a button, and my Bible comes up on it just like that. It's just that much easier to carry. And there are some of you here right now that your Bible is your phone, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. It's a tool. Use it as a tool. But how many of us carry a hammer around all day long, hitting everything with it? You don't. This is what we're getting about. We need to be wise and not unwise. Don't let this thing drive your life. Use it to drive your life. Use it as a tool in driving your life. Okay? It's a tool. Don't let it become an idol. There's a difference. And that's what God is speaking to us here. And he says to us from verse 16, he says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, I love what it says in several other translations. Please let us remember that the different translations all show us the nuances of what's being spoken here. because what we just read says to us that we are to make the most of our time. But at other places in other scriptures, the King James, the NIV, the NAS, it says redeeming the time. Oh, man, I love that word. I love that word. Why? Because what does the word redeem mean? The word redeem means to buy back, to repurchase, to free from what distresses or harms, to change for the better, to reform, repair, or restore, to free from a lien by payment of an amount secured, to atone for. Wow, is there some godly meaning in that word? You bet, because Jesus Christ has redeemed us throughout all time. And we need to remember that we are to be redeemers of time as well. And I think it's amazing, because what is the one thing in life that all of us have? Each and every one of us has this thing. Time. Yeah, Miss Leslie got it right. We all have time. How much time do we have? We have no idea. But how many of us are wasting that time doing things that we shouldn't be doing? How many of us are seeking after more time every day? Oh, man, if I only had more time. There's only 24 hours in a day. There's only 60 minutes in an hour and 60 seconds in every minute. You don't get any more and you won't get any less. But how are we going to use them? What are we going to do with them? And this is what it's really all about, because I'm going to tell you right now, and in this day and age, how many people are wasting time every moment of every day? When there are things we could be doing, we should be doing as the body of Christ that God calls us to do. Well, Pastor, you know, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at the Word of God and see what God has to say to us. I want you to turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes, the Old Testament, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we're going to be in verse 10. So all we're doing is going to verse 10. We're going to look at verse 10 here. Ecclesiastes verse 10. And this is something that I don't know. I think the evil one has lied to us, and I think, I don't know. Let's read this verse. Let's see what God has to say. From verse 10. He says to us in the book of Ecclesiastes from the 9th chapter, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. Now that word was spoken before heaven was opened up, right? That word still speaks to us today. Because what is Sheol? Nope. Hell is in Sheol. What is Sheol? A holding place. It's the grave. Okay? It is the grave. It's talking about death. When we die, all right, let's read this in another way. When we die, there is no planning or knowledge or wisdom. What does that mean? The only place we can acquire that which will help us unto salvation is on this side of the grave. Once we hit the grave, there's no more you can do to change your outcome. Do you understand what he's saying there now? You can't plan for this to happen tomorrow. You can't draw wisdom out of something you're not going to get. And there's nothing you can do or know beyond what you have when you pass. In other words, dear friends, we have got to be active presently in the working out of our salvation. Now, here, because once we die, it's done. There is no do-over. You know, we have these religions out there that believe in reincarnation. Everybody gets a whole bunch of do-overs. This time you might be a butterfly. The next time you might be a cockroach. Yeah, and wouldn't that be a horrible life? But hey, it's all karma. No, there's God and God incidents in our life today because of what we do and how we redeem our time. We only have so much. When we stand before the Lord, when we get to the Bema Seat of Christ as Christians, we're going to give an account for everything we've said, every moment that we have wasted is going to be set up before us in heaven. What did you do here? Oh, well, Lord, yeah, that was a wonderful mini-series. It was only 5 weeks long. You wasted how many hours of your life for what? I mean, how many of us, you know, I'm going to tell on some of us here. How many of us watched Roots? I mean, that was an awesome movie, wasn't it? It was really a good movie. But I look back on that now, and it's like, man, I sat in front of that TV for hours watching that movie. And I could have been out there involved in life. As I was getting ready to say earlier, I can remember being a little boy, and we had black and white TV, and boy, we were fixated on that thing. And it's funny, because it wasn't the big 72-inch TVs, the 94-inch TV. Ryan, how big's your TV? 105 inches? Something like that. Yeah, he's shaking his head, yeah. You know, we had this little TV, and I'm not kidding you, it was in a box the size of a couch, but the screen was like 14 by 12 or something. Am I right? The ladies are sitting there like, oh, yeah. The box was this big. It probably weighed 100 pounds, but the screen was this big. And we would sit in front of that thing 4 feet away from it, and our parents would say, would you get back? That's going to make you go blind. If only. Oh, my. But my parents, God love them. We were allowed a half hour of television a day. A half hour. Leave it to Beaver or Romper Room. Which is it going to be today? See? Yep. Yep. And for those of you out there who have no idea what Leave It to Beaver is or Romper Room, go on Google and Google it. Yeah, it's out there. It's in YouTube land. But don't waste your time. All right? It's nothing more than a trap. We need to understand TV and all this technology is supposed to be a tool, not a way of life. They are things we are to use in life to help us accomplish our goals, but we need to be about life. And if all our life is being involved in this self-absorption, we are being no earthly good, no heavenly good to anyone else, not even ourselves. Yeah, but I'm interacting with, no, you're not. I'm going to tell you right now, the touch of a person's hand on another person's shoulder means far more than any 25-page text you're ever going to send. Because when somebody's in need, they don't need your words. They need you. Am I hitting this on the mark? I was with a dear saint just the other week. I was with her for 2.5 hours. And you all know your pastor, and you're going to get to know me as you stick around. While I was with her, what was the most important thing to me? Her. Whatever she wanted to talk about. My phone rang. It started going off. Now, I have gotten intelligent enough to learn how to turn it off. The ringer stops, right? So I reached into my bag as I'm watching. I didn't even look because you can hear it and you can find it, right? Reached in, I found it, pulled it out, hit the button. I didn't even look at it, put it back. She said, well, aren't you going to answer that? It might be important. I said, no. I said, you're the most important thing in my life right now. Well, but that might be important. I said, do you remember when we grew up? We used to have the telephone hung on the wall and had the rotary dial. She said, well, yeah. I said, we didn't have answering machines, did we? No. I said, so if you weren't home and you didn't hear the phone ring, how important was it? Well, it could have been important. I said, yep. And if it was, they called me back. I said, guess what? When I'm done here, I'll call them back. I don't need to deal with that now. I'm here now. How many of us are here now in the moment? Every moment of every day. What I think is funny, and I'll never forget this, I was at a store, and these kids are walking down through, and this one young fellow, this young gentleman, He's texting, and he's walking, right? His peripheral vision is watching his friends around him. And I saw it coming. I saw it happening. They walked him right into a steel pole because they just stayed beside him, and they're guiding him because he's doing this, and as they're walking, he's just staying between these two guys, not looking in front of him. They walked him right into a steel pole. What do you think is happening in your life when you put all your stuff into that? Satan is walking you right into hell itself. He is walking you right into perdition because he is robbing you of life. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. How can you have life abundantly unless you're out there living it? Okay, I got some of you folks out here. We were talking at the Bible study about skiing. I've never skied, and I'm not going to start because at 59, I will break something that won't fix. But I think about you folks that go skiing. I think about myself and you folks that enjoy the outdoors. When we are in the outdoors, we're alive, aren't we? We are experiencing life, and we get to share that with other people. How many times do we isolate ourselves? We need to redeem the time that God has given us. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of John in the 9th chapter. Because again, it is coming to that place where each and every one of us needs to know that God has a plan and a purpose for us. But we have to follow his example in just what it means to live this life and to be in this life. This is John chapter 9. This is the Lord Jesus Christ here speaking to us. And we're going to be in John 9, 4 and 5. This is what the Lord himself says to us. The Lord was about the work of the Father. And he says, we must work from verse 4 in the 9th chapter. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ, he who was the one that was illuminating all things, said while he is here, we have to be about that light because once the light is pulled away, it's only going to be darkness. We need also to remember that from the book of Matthew, what does it say? Matthew in the fifth chapter, because these two scriptures play hand in hand. The one coming from the Lord and the other coming from the Lord. And it is remembering that he has said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you until the very end of the age. And I will what? Be with you. And he says not only that, but he says to us here from the 5th chapter in the 14th through the 16th verse, that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Therefore, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Glory be to the name of our Savior and our only wise God and the Holy Spirit who empowers him. We are now that light. That very light in a dark world. While Jesus was here, he was the light of the world. But now he has given that very light unto you and I, that we are to shine his glory, reflect his power through the power of the Holy Spirit into our world. We have something to do. You don't need to fill your time with something else. Open your life to the Lord, redeem the time in the Lord, and watch what he will do in your life. You know, we look at the church, and I know there are folks out here that are on the internet, and we haven't been at church for a while, and COVID has shut things down, right? And we're told that this is the new normal, and this is the way it's going to be, and there's not going to be full churches anymore. I disagree with that. I think if the church became the church once again and started remembering what we're here for, which is to talk to our neighbors, talk to our friends, to redeem the time, to show the light that is in us to the world, to testify. When was the last time we testified? We'll testify to other brothers and sisters, won't we? Because that's easy to do. Oh, yeah, I can tell you what God did. When was the last time you told a complete and total stranger what God did? Isn't that amazing? That's what we're to be about. Isn't that what Jesus did? He went out and found people that were fishing and said, "Hey, come, follow me." Do you think he knew their name? Well, of course we knew he did. He's God, right? But the reality is he walked up to total strangers. He walked up to total strangers. They looked at him like, "Who are you?" And then they followed him. Why did they follow him? Because he came as one who has authority. Guess what you have, people? In Christ Jesus, you have all authority. And there's a world out there that's hurting and wants to know. You know, it's like Sister Marion says, people don't care what you know until they know you care. You are surrounded by some great cloud of witness here with your elders and with your teachers and with your deacons and, you know, each and every one of us. But we need to remember the world is lying to us. The world is trying to get us to shut down. The world is trying to get us to internalize everything because the world is run by the evil one, because the days are evil. Isn't that what chapter or verse 16 said? Looking back here at our scripture, it says, make the most of your time because the days are what? Evil. We need to understand the kingdom of this world is ruled by another. And we are not of this world any longer. We are of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the days here are evil. They are dark, but we are the light unto the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Get it out. Set it on the lampstand that it may bring light to all that are in the what? House. That is to grow the house of God, the communion of saints. Oh, my heavens. There is so much that we need to be about, and God is here to help us through it. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. The Lord is so wonderful to us, and we're in chapter 13. The Lord is so wonderful to us. He wants us to understand that He is using us to bring salvation unto the masses. It is our call, and I'm telling you right now, when we look at what's going on out there in the world, you know, I was just reminded today, and I'm going to bring this up, but right now in Finland, there's a senator or a parliament minister, okay? We would call them senators here in the United States. They're under arrest and being tried because of their Christian faith. They are literally being tried because of their Christian faith, that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. They believe that it's one man, one woman forever. They believe the truth. And because they hold to that truth, they are in jail right now facing criminal charges for hate crimes. I'm telling you right now, I can't make this stuff up. But this is what the Lord says we're to be about. Chapter 13, we're going to read verses 11 and 12 and then 14. Verses 11 and 12 and then 14. I'm going to speak about 13. It says, do this knowing the time that is, excuse me, let me start. Do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. When you and I find ourselves not only wrapped up in the technology, but wrapped up in the things that this world is showing us that are okay, when we begin calling good evil and evil good, we begin to say, oh, it's okay to do this thing because it's no longer illegal. All right? Now, does simply because man says something is okay make it right? No. When God says no, he means no. Thou shalt not kill. That's why we've aborted 6 million babies, because it's legal. We need to understand what's being talked about here when it talks about verse 13 and the things that are there. And I don't want to go into all of them. I want us to look at the good that's here. I want us to remember, we all know the evil, don't we? We all know the evil. We deal with it every day of our lives. Some of us struggle with it, right? But what's the good say here to us? Well, the good is very real because we know this is the time. This is the time. It says, knowing the time. Look at what's happening. Know it. Do you see it? Do you see how things are being changed? How we're being told one thing and doing another. All right? You know, if we're not burning down the cities, it's not terrorism. But if we're parked in our car waving a flag, we're terrorists. Do you see it? It's here. We need to know the time. We need to see what's going on. We need to be involved where we need to be involved. And we're going to be told we're wrong. That's all right. I'd rather be wrong in Jesus than right in the world. Can I get an amen? Because I'm going to tell you, there's a judgment coming. And we're all going to see it because we'll be there to watch it. We're not going to experience it. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will not see that judgment. But we will watch those who are being judged. Because it tells us we're all going to be there. And we're going to see that judgment. And we will not glory in their judgment. We will actually shed tears for them. Because our hearts will be the heart of God. Do you think God doesn't mourn even one who dies? Yes, he does. That's why he wept outside of Jerusalem. But you and I need to understand, we're seeing this. But we are not to be sleepers. We are to be awake. Isn't that what it says? Be awake. In other words, realize what's going on. Begin redeeming your time, making the most of every moment, for the days are evil. Because I'm going to tell you right now, in verse 16 or 17 from Ephesians 5, says that we are to be filled with what? We are to know the will of the Lord, it says. Okay? That we should know the will of the Lord. How are we going to know the will of the Lord? You need to be in His Word. We need to redeem that time. Rather than spending 3 hours on your cell phone or on the internet or whatever you're doing, we need to spend a little bit of time. We need to invest time. You don't spend time when you do it with God. You're investing time. That time gets set up in treasure in eternity. That's what I want you to remember. It's not like the banks here in the world anymore. They give you 0.00005 interest. God gives you exponential interest because He's interested in you and what you're going to do with Him. So read the Word. Hand out the Word that we may put dividends into other people's lives. And remember what it says in the book of Revelation. And they won them by the power of, by the word of their testimony. You have the most powerful thing in the universe within you. And I don't think we even remember it. Our testimony has the power through the Holy Spirit to help bring others to that place of accepting that grace for themselves. It's not that we bring them there, but it's that God uses us to open a door because we are part of the human endeavor. And God would that everyone be saved. Amen? Man, what a powerful word. This is truth in a nutshell. And then from verse 18, excuse me, I got to go back. I'm trying to do it all by memory. It says, and do not get drunk with wine, that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Wow. In other words, because yes, we all know what it means to get drunk on wine, right? We all know what it means to get drunk because something else is in control of you. Let's look at this and turn it to our lives today. Oh, but Pastor, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. That's wonderful. Do you do the internet? How many of us have an IV hooked up to us from the internet? We are literally in the back of our head. There's a flipping cable, right? We're connected at the hip with our cell phone. When it vibrates, we vibrate trying to get it out of our pocket quick enough. We need to understand what's being talked about here. Don't let anything other than the Holy Spirit be the driving force that is in you. For as he drives us, he will bring us to the place of righteousness, of rightness with God. And in that, we will find the victory of life and life abundantly and bring it onto others. Oh, my heavens, Father, thank you for this life you give us. You know, how many of you woke up today and said, oh, man, it's cold? How many of you woke up today and said, oh, the sun's shining, it's beautiful outside? I know I did, because yesterday was crappy. That wind and that snow. But man, I got up today and it's a new day, and I looked outside, and yeah, I was still warm from the coal fire in my cellar. And I looked outside and I said, oh, baby, it's a good Sunday. The sun is shining, and as bright as it is outside, I know when we get into the fellowship, it's going to be even brighter in there, because the sun will shine in our hearts. Amen. And that's the way it needs to be every day, even in those days when it's windy and blowing and snowing and raining and all that stuff. It comes with life. Because inside, the sun is shining. Let's redeem the time. Let's get it right with God. Let's pour out the Word of God into the lives of our friends and our families and strangers. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it is night, but the night is just about over. Because daybreak is coming. The Lord is coming again. Normal's not coming back, but Jesus Christ is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, pastor's fired up. And I pray you are too. Because as redeemers of time, guess what that means? Time doesn't tell us. We tell time. Understand that. Because only God can control time. But when we are in God and he is in us, time is on our side. It's not against us. It is for us. May we remember, redeem the time. It's yours. Name it. Claim it. Believe it and receive it. In Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. And I thank you that we can be reminded that yes, we're in this world, but we are not to be of this world. We're to be different from this world. So Lord God, I pray that each and every person who is hearing my voice even now hears not me, but they hear you. Because Lord God, you are the one who empowers us. You are the light of the world. You are the power of the world. You are the sustainer of all things. For from you all things came, and to you things shall return. And may we remember, Lord, that when we return unto you, it is not to be less, it is to be more. And in that, Lord God, may our hearts shine that truth. May we redeem the time, because time is no longer a constraint to us. Time is not an enemy. Time is our friend when we allow you to use us in time for the times in which we live. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.